Everybody here is in a battle. And today I want to talk about how to make your battles belong to the Lord. Battles come, battles go. And so how do you make your battles belong to the Lord? And this is such an important subject because life is full of all sorts of battles on all sorts of battlefields. And we can find ourselves, and maybe this describes you today, we can find ourselves fighting battles on the battlefields of our health. A lot of people are sick. And a lot of people are seriously sick. And it's a real battle. On our mental health, that's another battlefield. On our marriages, on our the battlefield of our relationships with our children, our homes, you know, where we live, that could be a battle. Some people don't know where they're going to sleep tonight. That's a battle, especially when it's raining. On our friendships, relationships, our jobs, and even, you know, we have battles on the battlefield of our faith and our walk with Jesus Christ. And some of those battles that we face, and everybody faces battles. Nobody's immune from a battle. If you're breathing, you're going to have a battle sooner or later. And we can face battles that are just so overwhelming and devastating, even to the point where we're unable to handle what is going on. Sometimes we just can't handle it. And sometimes in the battles of life, we're not even sure of what we're supposed to do, you know? And sometimes people feel guilty about that. Oh, you know, I'm meant to be a Christian. I'm meant to know what I'm supposed to do. Well, sometimes we just don't know what to do when we're faced with a battle. But then on the other hand, there is great relief when someone draws alongside you to help you fight your battle. You know, when I was a long time ago, when I was in year 11 at high school, a few years ago, amen. I volunteered, Rochelle, I volunteered to help at a school dance for the students in our school from years 8 to 10. So I was year 11 and they needed help and I said, yeah, I'll come give you a hand. The dance was in the school gymnasium. It was on a particular night. But during the course of the evening, I had an altercation with another guy, which is an absolute shock because I'm such a nice person. But we had words. But then he left the dance and I thought nothing of it until later in the evening, when I looked out through the windows to the outside at the back of the gymnasium and I saw the guy I'd clashed with, he'd come back. But he'd also come back with about 10 to 12 mates. And they were waiting for me to come outside. And they were signaling to me, doing all sorts of gestures, which I won't do in front of the church. They were signaling to me that I was going to cop a beating from them and, you know, there was just no way out. And that was a real problem to me because I didn't want to get beaten up. I have this allergy to pain, severe allergies, particularly if it concerns the nose. So I didn't want to get beaten up. And I had no mates with me at the dance. It was a different group of students. And I had no friends to even up the numbers. And the mobile phones weren't invented, so I couldn't phone anybody. And then I asked some of the teachers, and there was even a policeman there. Just didn't want to know. None of the adults, they just didn't want to know. So I stayed to the end of the dance, hoping that those guys would get bored and go away. But you know what? I kept looking and they just wouldn't go away. And so I resigned myself to the inevitable. I'm going to cop it bad. So just as I was about to go outside, and I had to get to my bike and they were between me and my bike. Just as I was going to go and face those guys, I'm just walking out and I was really stressed. Then somebody called my name, David. And I spun around. It was my dad. It was my dad. In all my school years, my dad never picked me up from a school event except for that one time. And he showed up just at the right time. And the sight of my dad, back then he was young, and he used to like to box and stuff like that. And just at the sight of him, that dad just lifted my hopes. Now my battle was now my dad's battle. And so, you know, before I was going like this. Now he's there and I'm going. Actually, that's not true, quite true. I let him walk in front. I was going. And we walked outside together, and he was just so relaxed. He wasn't afraid at all. And just his physical presence and his confidence made all the difference to me. It rubbed off on me, but that his confidence made a difference to the guys too. And so that what my dad did is he just looked for them and he went walking straight at them. And they just backed off, they parted, and we just walked through the middle of them. And praise God, that was so good. And my dad had it all sorted out. He handled it. And I didn't get beaten up because my battle became his battle. And none of those guys was brave enough to lift a hand while my dad was there. In the same way, everybody, what a relief it is when God shows up when we're facing a battle that is overwhelming. Thank you, Lord. And what a relief it is when God says, your battle's now my battle. What a relief. And when God steps into our battles, those demonic spirits, which are real, the devil's real, when God steps into our battles, those demonic spirits of adversity, they back off. And they get right out of the way when they see Jesus Christ coming. Amen? 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 But we must ask, how do you make those challenges that you face, the troubles that we face, the valleys that we all go through from time to time, how do you make all of that stuff? How do you make that belong to the Lord? How do you do that? How can you make your battle belong to the Lord so that he steps in and handles it for you? Where he actually does the fighting for you. How do you do that? Well, the Bible tells us how to do that. Amen. Praise God for the Bible. Amen, amen. How many people watched the King's coronation last night, by the way? Anybody? I just love the soldiers. But through the service, lots of scripture. Amen, lots of scripture. And you know, if you want to find the answers to life, they're in the Holy Scriptures. And in a book in the Bible, because there's 66 books in the Bible, so the Bible is like a mini library that you carry around. And in one of those books called 2 Chronicles, and it's split into chapters, in chapters 17, 19, and 20, we read this powerful story that lays out the steps that we can follow that will then help us to hand over our battles over to the Lord. And so I'm going to tell you the story, because this powerful story concerns a king. And he was named Jehoshaphat. Now, that's one great name you can call your child. Amen. Can we say Jehoshaphat together? Jehoshaphat. Just a great name. And it concerns him and his tiny country. And his tiny country was named Judah. And perhaps some of you have heard of him. I think a lot of you have, but maybe you haven't, but that's okay. We read in the Bible that this king Jehoshaphat was actually a really good guy. He was a good king. And we also read in the Bible that he sent preachers throughout his tiny kingdom to instruct the people in the ways of God. And these people in his tiny kingdom, they were God's people. They belonged to God, but they had not learned the ways of God. And it could be the same today. You can belong to God, but that doesn't mean you know the ways of God. You've got to learn the ways of God. We all know the ways of the world. We know what the world expects from us. We know how the world expects us to treat one another. We know the ways of the world, and we apply the ways of the world to our lives without even realizing it, because we're just grown up in that environment. But when we belong to God, we must put the ways of the world behind us and learn the ways of Almighty God. So Jehoshaphat sent preachers around the country to teach the people how to live their lives in a way that honored God. And the Bible encourages, in fact, it instructs us to live a life in a way that honors God. Get born again, but live a life that honors God. And so they taught the people from God's word. That's how they learned the ways of God. But then as the people changed the way they lived, the whole nation then prospered, and their little nation became the place where everyone wanted to live. So when you live in a way that honors God, see, what happens then is that God blesses, and then he favors and he prospers you, and he listens to the cries of your heart. So this man, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, and this tiny nation, they were blessed. I am blessed, amen. and they were prosperous because they followed the ways of the Lord. So important. Instead of following the ways of the nations surrounding them. And my point is this, is that they were doing the right thing. They were doing the right thing. They were living for God, but then out of nowhere, terrible trouble came. Just because you're doing the right thing, it doesn't mean you're immune from trouble. Sometimes you get extra trouble when you're doing the right thing. And out of nowhere, terrible trouble came to Jehoshaphat and to his tiny nation. And the Bible explains it to us. And I've got the scriptures on the screen, side screens there. The Bible says this. The armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Moyunites, Meunites, the Ites. Amen. They declared war on Jehoshaphat. And then messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from the Dead Sea. They're already at En Gedi. In other words, they're not far away. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. And so people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. So three large armies, they combined together and they became one huge super army. And this super army had seen the way Judah had prospered, and so they wanted to come and conquer them and plunder them and plunder them and take all of their wealth away from the land of God's people. That was the idea. That was what was on the mind of these soldiers. And this super army actually came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. And life is like that in this fallen world. Trouble comes unexpectedly at times, doesn't it? And it can come at any time, and it can come to any one of us in this room. Jehoshaphat was doing the right thing, but trouble came out of nowhere. As a young man, many years ago, I'd landed a wonderful job in the city, and I was so happy. And life was going well for Rochelle and I. She was pregnant with our first child. But I just landed this job, and in the first week, I started work on the Monday, and on Friday of this beautiful, wonderful job, I got a call to work saying, Rochelle, she was pregnant, had been taken to hospital, because she's suddenly become severely ill and they needed to get the baby out of her real quick. So I didn't know what was going on. I was in the city already, but so I rushed off to King Edward Hospital to meet the ambulance and all that. I'm there. And our son Jared was born that night. But he was premature, severely premature, and he was very little. He hadn't been grown for a long time. And so we didn't know if Jared would survive. I didn't know. In addition, Rochelle was really sick. And that shocked me because Rochelle is one of the strongest women I know. Really, she is. She's a physically strong woman. And she's sick. And I couldn't see her. And she was at death's door. And within less than a day, my world had gone from wonderful to absolute despair and absolute confusion. And many of you in this room, you've also experienced similar sorts of things in your life. You had an expectation, this is going to be a great week, this is going to be a great day, and then a phone call just changed everything for you. You know, at the start of that day, Rochelle was healthy. She looked pretty good to me. I was just watching the way she was cleaning the house and preparing my lunch and washing the car, and I thought, she looks pretty good today, amen. That was a bad joke. But she did look good. But by the end of that day, the doctors were fighting for Rochelle and they were fighting for my baby, our baby. I never saw trouble coming. I wasn't prepared for it. That would never, ever happen. I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't know what was going to happen that day. It caught me completely by surprise. That's the nature of life. And I thank God for saving them both. Amen. To God be the glory. And that's the thing. You see, Joshua, he's a good guy. But he was caught by surprise. And it doesn't mean that he was doing anything wrong. He was just caught by surprise. And of course, he was terrified by the news. And let's be honest about it, some things do terrify us. He was terrified at the arrival of this super army. However, he didn't blame God for the trouble. Interesting. It's amazing how many people blame God. He never once blamed God. He didn't blame God for the trouble, and neither should you. Jehoshaphat knew that the trouble did not come from God. This trouble came from the enemy. And everybody, listen, you've got enemies too. You have spiritual enemies. Yeah, you do. You do. And we got to wake up to this, that we're in a spiritual warfare. You know, if you're not following the Lord, you are ensnared in the control of the wicked one, who doesn't care whether you're happy. He doesn't care whether you have a job or you don't have a job. The enemy doesn't care about that. All the enemy really cares about is that you don't make your peace with Almighty God and go to heaven. If you're not walking with the Lord, you're already, you know, you're in a spiritual prison. But if you're walking with the Lord, if you're not trapped by the devil, if you're walking with the Lord, then that brings you into conflict with the wicked one. And we're all in a spiritual warfare, and we need to wake up to this situation. We have spiritual enemies. The devil's your enemy. And even, everybody, the spiritual atmosphere of the world is your enemy. You know, when you try to walk for Jesus Christ, it's amazing how some old friends you haven't seen for years suddenly happen to show up and want to know if you want to go out with them, get up to the stuff you used to get up to. It's the spiritual atmosphere of this world is against you. Every time you get out of bed in the morning, the current is flowing against you. And it's good for us to see the way the world truly is. Amen. You know, the world wants to pull you down. And so Jehoshaphat was faced with a battle. There was no way he could defeat this super army. Like little poor old tiny little me, there was no way I could defeat those 10 guys. I would have struggled with half a person out there. But, you know, Jehoshaphat could not beat this super army. And he was going to be defeated, and he would be slaughtered, and his nation would be slaughtered. So what did Jehoshaphat do? Well, Jehoshaphat gathered all the people of Judah together to pray and to seek the Lord's help. And they had an encounter service, and we're going to be having an encounter service in a few weeks' time. And they had been learning. Remember, they had been learning the ways of God that included prayer. And so when you are faced, listen very carefully, when you are faced with an overwhelming enemy, you've got to do more than just quote a scripture. You've got to do more than just seek counseling. When you're faced with an overwhelming enemy, you must pray and call upon the name of the Lord. When faced with an overwhelming battle, go to God. Go to God. Seek the Lord. Go to Jesus Christ. When you're faced with an overwhelming battle. Then as the people stood before the temple, Jehoshaphat prayed to God on their behalf, and he prayed. And this is a prayer. It's on the screens. I'm going to read it to you. It says, Lord, this is what he prayed. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who's in heaven? Yep. You rule over all the kings of the nations. Yes, he does. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? And then finally, for we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. This prayer only has about 220 words in it. It's not a long prayer when you think about it. In the Bible, there's much longer prayers. See, when you need God's help, you don't need to pray a long prayer. You need to get to the point with Almighty God. But look at how Jehoshaphat ends the prayer. He says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us, but we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. Please note that Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, did not pray to God, "Could you please give me a hand?" Could you please note, he did not say to God, "I have a plan, and could you bless it, please?" Please note, he did not say to God, "You do your part, and I'll do mine." Jehoshaphat said to God, "We have no power to deal with this situation, and we don't know what to do." He said, "God, I'm running on empty right now. There's nothing left in the tank. God, this is beyond me. I'm tired. I can't handle this. I don't even understand what I'm supposed to do." And you know, everybody, you know, some people get upset if you get a bit negative. But Jehoshaphat's not being negative in this story. He's saying it like it is. He's faced with a marauding super army. What did you expect him to say? "Oh, whoopee, this will finish well." And the marauding army's just a day out from the city. He's got families in front of him that are going to be slaughtered. He's saying it like it is. And Jehoshaphat, and he was a smart guy, but he really just didn't know what to do. And because he didn't know what to do, why should he pretend that he knew what to do? Why pretend? Have you ever been in that situation where you don't know what to do? I'm sure you have. I have. We have. Sometimes, everybody, life is too hard for us to figure out. Sometimes it's just too hard to figure out. Not all the time, but sometimes it is. And we need to stop pretending we know what we're doing when we don't know what we're doing. Who cares what other people think about us? We need to stop being so super spiritual where we suppress our concerns and how we truly feel. It's okay to be honest with God and honest with yourself. But at the same time, when a battle does come your way, it's not the time to bury your head in the sand and pretend everything will work out by itself either. Because the devil loves it when Christians do that. "Oh, she'll be right, mate." And the devil's going, "Wonderful, wonderful." Don't bury your head in the sand. Neither is the time to analyze what spiritual lessons you can learn from your circumstances. There's a place for that. And when you're going through a battle, it's not the time to think, "Oh, I wonder what God's trying to teach me." Instead, when an enemy comes into your life or to your family, it's the time to go to God and get God involved. Take the battle to the Lord. Don't be a doormat for the devil. You know, God knows what to do about the battle you face when you don't know what to do. "For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Jehoshaphat's final words in his prayer, you can see it on the screen there, says, "But our eyes are on you." Jehoshaphat's eyes were not on his army or his diplomats. They weren't on his advisors. His eyes were not on his own abilities. And he was an able guy, but his eyes were not on his abilities. His eyes were not on his allies. Jehoshaphat's eyes were on the Lord. And sometimes we just need to be reminded about that, that sometimes we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Just as a child looks expectantly to his mother or father or grandfather for help. Actually, that was just in Melbourne last week. And I'm wearing a West Coast Eagles cap. And Hudson was asking me, "Why are you wearing that cap?" Amen. Not really, just looking into my eyes. Just like that, so the great king of Judah, the great king of Judah humbled himself and looked to Almighty God for help. He humbled, see, we're talking about how to handle our battles over the Lord. He humbled himself and looked to Almighty God for help. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, and he will direct your paths. He will tell you what to do. This is the point of the message. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We're talking about handling our battles over the Lord. How do you do that? Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do you need God to own your battle? Then humble yourself. We don't do that very well, but humble yourself before the Lord. Be honest with him. Be honest about what you can do, what you can't do. Be honest with how you feel. Recognize that he's Lord, you're not. He is God, you're not. Recognize his supremacy. Humble yourself, and then he will lift you up above the plans of all of your enemies. And when King Jehoshaphat finished his prayer, Almighty God couldn't stand back any longer. Almighty God couldn't but help and respond. You know, God can never hold back from his people when they humbly call upon his name. He just can't stand in a corner and watch us be defeated. When we humble ourselves, when we say, Lord, help me, the Lord says, I'll help you. And as the Jews stood before the temple with their little children, babies, families, the Spirit of the Lord, this is God's response, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man who was a prophet, Jahaziel, and he said this, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and he's speaking as the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged because of this vast super army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And as I was just speaking that, because you know, I was waiting on God this week, what message should I bring? And I really believe, obviously, that this was a message. As I just spoke then, I just sensed a quickening in my spirit that word, and I'm going to say it again, I'm going to repeat that last phrase, there's a quickening in your spirit. There's faith coming into you. This is a word for you today. Somebody in this place, do not be afraid or discouraged. You've come to church today to hear this. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. You're coming through this. Hallelujah. You're going to do more than come through it. You're going to win in Jesus' name. See, God showed up. He showed up like my dad showed up. God showed up in response to the humble prayer of a mighty king. God took ownership of their battle. The battle became God's battle. And the super army, this is the thing, the super army then now had to face Almighty God. Tables are turned. And I'll just say something to you. You don't ever want to get into a battle with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't want to be there. You want to make sure on the right side of the battle. Amen. Imagine the relief. Imagine the joy that swept through that tiny nation when God said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Imagine King Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah. 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 All the anxiety, all the tension, all the stress among God's people just evaporated when God took ownership of the battle. And I reckon those people slept well that night. Amen. And you know, God kept his word. You know the story. A lot of you know the story. The Jews marched out against the super army the next day as instructed by the Lord. They sang songs of praise, and they even had the choir lead the army at the front, and they marched out. And as they marched and praised the Lord, Almighty God caused the super army to implode. And the soldiers, because there was three armies making up the super army, two of the armies, they beat up on a smaller army, and then they turned on each other. Actually, they wiped themselves out. They completely wiped themselves out. And so King Jehoshaphat and his army did not even have to fight. Amen. Wow, wow, wow. Could you say that backwards? Amen. It's an amazing story. And that super army left behind all the plunder they had taken from the other nations before they'd even arrived. They were so rich, this super army, and there was so much plunder. They left it all behind, and there was so much plunder that it took Jehoshaphat and his smaller army 3 days to take all the plunder back home. So God not only fought the battle for the Jews, but he turned the attack of the enemy into a source of blessing and favor, because that's what Almighty God does for those who humbly call upon his mighty name.
Amen.
So let's finish. How do you make the challenges, the troubles, the valleys that you are going through, how do you make all of that belong to the Lord? So that he handles it for you, where he fights your battles for you. What do? You seek God. You seek God and you pray. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And this is what we pray. For we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Amen.
And God will say in response, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And ladies and gentlemen, how blessed we are that we can take our battles to the Lord.